All right, here we go. This will be the first lesson for the Baptist Basics University course, Baptist History. This lesson, we're going to cover the introduction and hit some high points, talk about the importance of the study. We're going to talk about my personal opinion when it comes to the Baptist Church and its origins and stuff. And we'll talk a little bit about the sources of information that we have on it. It's kind of lay a groundwork. And then what we're going to do from here out in Lesson 2, we'll cover an outline of the Baptist distinctives. Now, it's not a complete list of doctrines that Baptists believe, but what it is a list of doctrines or beliefs that set us apart from other groups. Now, the divinity of Christ is not going to be one of those. It's just going to be things that set us apart from the Methodists, things that set us apart from the Lutherans as a whole. These things are characteristic that set us apart from every other group. And there are 8 of those. We will cover those when we get there. And then we're going to talk about some different theories in Lesson 3 as to where Baptists came from. There's a lot of different opinions on it. I want to cover those because I think it's very good to know, especially when you are reading a particular book or something. It helps you to kind of guess and understand where they're coming from and their opinions. And usually if you understand the different theories, you can figure out what they believe even if they don't tell you. We're going to look at in Lesson 4 was the early church Baptist. So, you know, if we could magically go back in time 2,000 years, were those early Christians at Jerusalem, would we still believe like they did? Or would they believe like us? If we could bring them to the present day, would they believe like us? We'll cover that, and I'll go through some of that. And then we're going to go through Lesson 5 and see 6, 7. I'm scroll down through here. Lessons 5 through 8, we're going to cover good overview of Baptist history. Real quick, you can go into a lot of detail on that. We're just going to hit the high points and at the same time kind of covering a brief overview of the church history at the time. You really, to appreciate Baptist history, need to understand the broader what's called church history. Now, that encompasses people I don't necessarily consider to be churches, such as the Catholic, at least as in Bible terms being a church. But to really appreciate what the Baptists are, who they are, what they believe, the price that they've paid, you need to understand the layout there was and the lay of the land, so to speak, with the Catholics and the Lutherans and different prevailing thought at the time, political. And even then, you have to almost understand the regional aspects of it also to really appreciate it. So we're going to hit the high points there. Lesson 9, we're going to cover the history of Baptists in America. Excuse me. And then in Lesson 10, we will cover Baptist today, where they're at today, some of the controversy and stuff that we face today as Baptist. But we'll just kind of cover briefly, you know, who we are, what we are today. And then I've also included, and I probably won't be recording an audio file to go with this, but I've included in the notes an appendix on Baptist history books, and I have a few that I recommend. I have a few that are popular or that I have and I know a little bit about, so I've included a little bit of information on those and a little bit of information on where you can find some online. I think that'll be helpful to you if you want to continue studying this. But that's basically going to be what we're going to do in this series of lectures. I've got the presidential election on my mind. Anyway, this series of lectures. So let's get started here with this introduction. Baptists hold their history and heritage to be very, very important. In fact, they make a very bold claim that there are just not very many other Christian groups that even dare to claim. One of the only other groups I know of that claim this, well, other than the Catholics do, But the only other group I know of, and they split off the Baptists, and we'll talk briefly about that, is the Church of Christ. But the claim I'm talking about is that we claim that what we believe is the same set of beliefs that the first church in the book of Acts, it's the same thing they believed. We also claim that those have been passed down from generation to generation, from group to group, and that there has been a line of groups and people who have held those beliefs, and that throughout the last almost 2,000 years of human history, there have been people who believe like us. Now, that's a very bold claim. Most groups, honestly start with a man. For instance, the Lutherans start with Martin Luther. We'll discuss that just briefly. The Methodists started with the Wesley brothers, and George Whitefield had a part in that also. The Church of Christ started with Alexander Campbell. And I mean, you could go down the line. Almost all of these groups started with a person. They have a definite start. Before Martin Luther, there were no Lutherans, so to speak. Now, some of that doctrine predated. A lot of it was held in the Catholic Church, by the way. But but nevertheless, that group only existed after the ministry of that man. That man was the driving force in starting that group. Now, I'm not discounting the work of men and their influence and the movements maybe that they start, but most of the denominations today started with a man at some point in the last 2,000 years. I mean, that's just fact. You look it up, read your history books, that's where most denominations got their start. There's a few that may be a little bit different that kind of break the mold, so to speak, but I'm just telling you, most denominations started out with one man, one man's ministry, one man's ideas, one man's theology, and took off from there. Well, anyway, now let me tell you, this claim of the Baptist is a very bold claim and is subject to great debate even among Baptists. Not all Baptists believe this. There is a common theory, and we'll get into this in a later lesson, that Baptists only have existed for about 400 years, that the first Baptist church was in England in the 1600s, but I really have a hard time with that. But that is a very common theory, and a lot of the new Baptist history books promote that particular theory. So I'll just throw that out there. But I'm gonna, honestly, there's a lot of confusion out there over church history. A lot of people don't understand it. A lot of people just repeat what they've heard. They haven't done much study into the matter. A lot of people that are claimed to be heroes are, in my opinion, nothing more than heretics. People like, for instance, there was the one of the so-called early church fathers was a guy named, I believe it's pronounced Origen. It's spelled O-R-I-G-E-N. Looks like Origen, but I believe it's pronounced Origen. Anyway, this man was honestly a pure heretic in most of his beliefs. And really, he was from the from down by Alexandria, and he really helped to promote a lot of very, very bad and dangerous doctrine. But now he is promoted now as a great thinker and very influential in the history of the church. Well, the man was a heretic. And the same thing, for instance, with Martin Luther. I've talked about him before. Martin Luther, now he, thank God, figured out salvation, but there's a lot of stuff he didn't ever get straightened out with. There's a lot of Catholic doctrine he held on to, and there's a lot of stuff he was dead wrong on. Now, I'll give credit to whom credit is due and tell you when he was right, but at the same time, he did a lot of stuff that was not good. In fact, he persecuted the Baptists of that day. So, you've got to keep this in mind. So, I mean, a lot of people just don't understand church history. And honestly, I think part of that is due to the fact that we, in a lot of cases, know more about some of these men than we do the good men. We have some more writings by some of these heretics than we do some good men. And I don't know if I'll get into my theories on that just now, maybe for a later lesson. But anyway, let's look at the importance of Baptist history. I think history needs to be burned into the mind. That's a quote. I can't remember who said that. I believe it's some philosopher said that history must be burned into the mind before it can be taken into the imagination. I've seen that quote somewhere. But history is an heritage, is a foundation for who we are. Now, it's not the basis for what we do or believe necessarily, but it is something that gives us a sense of direction. It's something that gives us a sense of being, to realize who we are and what we are. Honestly, it is our duty to keep our history alive, to pass it on, to promote it. Now, I contend that the early church was the purest form of the church. Now, they were not without problems, and they did some things in the book of Acts I think, personally, were wrong. I don't really want to get into that sometime, but they, for all apparent indications, look like they practice a mild form of communism. Well, I can't agree with that at all. And you think, well, I've never heard that before. That's what they did. They were selling all their property, giving it to the church, and then kind of all living off all that money that they gave to the church. And it became a problem. In fact, my dad has a theory. You can take this for what it's worth. He, later on, if you read some of Paul's letters, he's taking up offerings for those poor saints back at Jerusalem. My dad thinks the reason why they were poor was because they gave all their money to the church. And so they couldn't take care of themselves anymore, so they're having to look for outside help. That may not be true necessarily, but it is a neat idea anyway. But anyway, you know, the core doctrines, beliefs, practices that the early church and apostles had, I think was or is our guide for today. And let me tell you this, that if a group can trace their doctrines and their practices back to that church, then essentially they can claim to have the purest doctrine and practices. If they believe what the church in the books of Acts believed, if they do what the church in the book of Acts did, then they can claim to be one and the same. Well, I'm telling you right now, aside for some very supernatural movings that the Holy Spirit did through some men there, I believe that the Baptist Church holds the same key doctrines, the same key beliefs that church has shown in the book of Acts, in the town of Antioch, in the town of Jerusalem, is the same. I think that the key doctrines and the main points are the same. Now, I'm sure there's many issues today that they didn't have back then, the issues they had back then that we didn't have today. But I'm just saying the key elements, I think, are the same. Heritage does give identity. You know, you really, to understand what it is to be an American, you need to know American history. You need to know the struggles America has been through and its people have been through. You need to understand the Revolutionary War, the Civil War, the Great World Wars, and the Depression, and even understand the Vietnam War. And I mean, that may focus too much on the wars and such, but those great influences that molded our nation and the thought during those decades, you have to understand all that to understand what and who America is. Well, you need to understand your heritage as a Christian, as a Baptist, to understand who you are. You know, it's great to realize that, hey, somebody's been through a lot worse than I have. Or somebody's really paid the price for what I believe. It's amazing. Oh, it's amazing to read the price some people paid so we could do what we do today. You know, just the religious freedom we have today, that was bought with a price. The Bible we hold in our hands, that was bought with a price. Somebody paid in blood for the practices and doctrines we have today. And we'll get into a little bit of that. Well, let's go into the next section here, try to get going. I'm rambling as usual. At least I'm about halfway through and only about 50 minutes in. I try to make these about 30 minutes apiece if I can. But let's just look a little bit at I'll try to explain my personal theory on the origin of the Baptists. I believe that you can historically prove that there have been men or groups or movements that have held all or most of the Baptist distinctives at every point in church history, from the beginning until the present day, for the last almost 2,000 years. I guess essentially you could say from AD 30, which is probably about when Christ died, though I do believe the church had its start probably a little bit before that in the ministry of Christ. That's personal opinion there. I don't think the church started at Pentecost. The church was empowered at Pentecost, but I think the basis for the church was formed in the apostles and in the ministry of Christ. That's a whole different thing. I didn't leave space or prepare notes for on that, but that's my personal belief. So from about AD 30 to the present year, 2008, there have always been people who've held these doctrines. They don't just sporadically pop up and magically hold the same doctrines these other people had. There's some influence there. Now, the reason why a group can pop up hundreds of miles away from another group and believe the same thing, as happens all throughout church history, is because Baptists believe the Bible. And when groups got back to believing the Bible and believing what the Bible said, they became Baptist in their doctrines. It is amazing. It is absolutely amazing how many times that happens. We'll get into a little bit of that later on. Now, I do believe that these congregations were often very small and that they didn't leave as great an impact on history as they did on eternity. They weren't concerned with building buildings or writing books or building colleges or drawing crowds. They were worried about living the Christian life as they saw that they needed to, and in propagating the kingdom of God. These people were concerned with reaching souls and influencing their generation. And sadly, I think that's one of the reasons that it's very hard to trace this, is because they never conquered anybody. They never were the ruling class. They didn't build large monumental buildings and cathedrals. They didn't have great councils. You'll hear about church councils all throughout church history. But they didn't have these great councils to once and for all decide exactly what to believe on the doctrine. They didn't do that. What they did was they served God. And they lived their lives. They were simple people, and they practiced the simple form of Christianity, and they existed in small congregations and small little towns and villages and hamlets all throughout the world. Now, we'll get into this in a little bit, but you'll realize that one of the hardest things about tracing these groups is they didn't leave a lot of direct information about them. There are some groups, in fact, that the only thing we know about them is what their enemies said about them. I was reading one of the history books, and it was talking about a certain teacher who got in with a Catholic school and became convinced of some good Baptist principles and kind of like made a Luther-like transformation. And how he turned that school around and started preaching the gospel, and that the Catholics persecuted him and basically shut him down and killed a bunch of those people. Well, the problem is the only reason we know about that is because we have some records from the Catholics denouncing them and saying what they did to them. So we don't have their defense of their own beliefs. We just have what their enemies said about them. That's just one instance of that. Most of these groups didn't bother writing history books and explaining who they were or what they were or why they were. They didn't build great theological schools that influenced, you know, thought across the ages. And honestly, I mean, until Gutenberg invented the movable type press, it was just too expensive to produce sermons and books. I mean, this stuff was usually hand copied. Now they actually did a little bit of printing before then, but it was, you produced one plate per page. That was what made Gutenberg so great, is because he could mass produce stuff. He didn't have to make the single plate for the page, and then, hey, if nobody bought the book, you've invested all that money, and you know, nobody buys a book. Well, Gutenberg figured out, hey, I can take all the different letters, make a little block out of each letter, and then put them all in here. And, you know, if this don't sell, I can take it apart and rearrange it. That was the genius in Gutenberg's printing press. But until that, it was just too expensive for these sermons to be passed down or for their books to be passed down. We have a few exceptions to that, though. In the late 1800s, there was a book entitled The Key of Truth that was discovered. And this book, tracing back its heritage, goes back to the Paulicians. They were a group that's usually included in the line of Baptist heritage. Now, I've got a copy of this book. You can get a reprint of it. It's out of print now. And I'll talk a little bit more about its history when we get to that point in our history discussion. But I have the book. I've read the book. And there's some stuff in there that's a little crazy. But there are definite clear statements on some of the Baptist principles in there. And we'll discuss that a little bit more. So in some cases, we have a little bit of that. We have some of the writing of some of the very early church leaders, such as men like Tertullian and some of those. So we have a little bit of the very early writings. But through the Dark Ages and such, there's just not a good paper trail to follow. So that makes it very hard to follow. Now, all these different groups and individuals, they didn't agree 100% of the time. In fact, nobody agrees 100% of the time. Even inside these different groups, there would be little splits and branches. And for instance, the Anabaptists. The Anabaptists, they started over in, I believe it's Switzerland, and they really gained a lot of fame, though, in Germany. And there are some people that are included in the Anabaptists that were pure heretics. Alright, you may have just heard my phone go off there. Sorry, I had to step away for just a second. Apologize for that. People have called me twice as I've been recording this lesson. But anyway, I was talking about the Anabaptists. And the Anabaptists in Germany, for instance, they included the Thomas Munzer, who led the Munster Rebellion, and they actually took over town and claimed that they were forcibly and militarily bringing in the Millennial Kingdom and all kinds of craziness. So, yeah, you got to watch it because, yeah, there's a lot of crazy people involved, or they're sometimes included in with good Baptist groups. Now, I'll be honest with you, I think it's only been in recent centuries that one of the key beliefs of Baptists has been realized, and that is the freedom to worship as you please, to believe as you want to believe. Almost every other quote-unquote church has at one time somewhere ruled by the sword. And what I mean by that is that they forcibly made people believe what they believed. They impressed their opinions and their doctrines through the state. Now, the Baptists have never done so. The Baptists have never ruled. And that's not to say Baptists have not been leaders, but the Baptists as a group have never ruled. They believe that the church and state are two separate entities. There is no Baptist state. Now, Germany was, for many years, a Lutheran state. You know, Italy was a Roman Catholic state. The Great Britain was an Anglican state, Church of England. And you can go on and on all around Europe. And different Scotland, for instance, you know, was Presbyterian through the work of John Knox. So, you know, all these different groups, you know, would rule. Well, honestly, there's never been a place that they can say, hey, that is what the Baptist, man, the Baptists are in charge there, and that's, you know, just the Baptist place, and you can't go there unless you're Baptist. No, the Baptists have always held to, you have the right to believe what you want. That's one of the key beliefs of Baptists, and we'll get into a little bit of that in a little different terms there. But I'll tell you, they've been sorely persecuted by almost every Christian denomination. Presbyterians, the Church of England, the Lutherans, the Roman Catholics, you go down the line, Baptists have been persecuted by just about everybody. And I've heard it said that the persecutors of the Baptists breed like a who's who in the history of the world. And in many cases, it does. But Baptists have just simply tried to please God, to live good, solid Christian lives, and to spread their message, not by force, but by persuasion, by the power of preaching, and not by the power of laws or edicts or anything else. So let's go on. Let's wrap up this. We'll hit this last section here. I apologize if I sound a little bit off. That phone call kind of threw me off a little bit in my train of thought. But we'll look at the sources of information. How do we know what we know about the Baptists? Well, to be honest with you, is that most of what we know about many of the early groups comes from the writings of their enemies. We know that the Catholics said, hey, there's this group down here, and they do this and this and this, and they don't do this and this and this. And as we look at that, and we kind of dig through the garbage a little bit, and we come to find out, hey, these people sure do look like Baptists. And maybe we get lucky and find some writings by some of their leaders or something and find out a little bit more about them. But honestly, for the most part, what we know about the Baptists comes from the writings of usually Roman Catholics or maybe Lutherans or something like that. So usually, honestly, too, if you go to reading some of this stuff, they're usually accused of very ridiculous things along with the ultimate charge that they were charged with was, hey, you don't agree with us, you know, so evidently you're wrong. Well, usually when, for instance, the Catholics would be railing on one of these groups, they would throw in other things. They would say that they don't get married, that they, you know, just live in sin, and that all the children are illegitimate. Well, the fact was is they wouldn't go to the Roman Catholics and have the Roman Catholics do their wedding. So the Roman Catholics said, well, if we didn't do your wedding, evidently you're not married. So that kind of throws a monkey wrench in that one. There are certain doctrinal things they're always accused of. One of that is, oh my goodness, I've gone blank on it. Well, I'll cover that in a little bit. But there are certain things they're usually accused of. They're usually accused of not praying to saints or worshiping Mary or anything like that. So, you know, basically you just say, hey, you don't believe like us. So, and that's usually what they are accused of. Well, I was trying to skip down here. Boy, I cannot think about that. There is one thing they're always accused of, and I've gone blank. The Paulicians were accused of it also, and it's right on the tip of my tongue, and I cannot think of what it is. That is so embarrassing, especially when you're recording this, when, you know, people are going to be listening to it. But anyway, just take what I'm saying at face value. But they were always accused of stuff like that, you know, of being rebel rousers or all kinds of crazy things. So you got to take what is written about them with a grain of salt in many cases and try to dig through it all. Because honestly, it's very hard to really find what they believe because they just trump up most of the charges. And as I say, sometimes we have fragmentary or partial works by some of these leaders, just a few books or maybe some letters. So we have some firsthand knowledge of what they believed. To be honest with you, it's amazing some of this stuff even still exists when you think of the persecution they endured. You read all the time of how people were burning books and, you know, they basically said, hey, if you have a book by this guy, you're guilty and you're worthy of being burned at the stake. In fact, they burn people at the stake for not just having Bibles, but for having books by just the wrong person. So, you know, it's honestly amazing to think that some of those documents even have still existed. But nevertheless, through those, we can see a kind of a glimpse into the works of some of these movements. And to be honest with you, I think we're also very fortunate that in the last couple centuries, really starting in the 1800s, that a great many people have stepped up and tried to chronicle the history of the Baptist and tried to really go back and study it and lay the information out. I think a lot of that was due to the rise of the Church of Christ and Campbellism, as there was a little bit of an identity crisis that was going on, especially in America there in the early 1800s. So, you know, the Baptists were really, hey, who are we? We need to really nail down who we are, because basically Alexander Campbell was claiming he was the true Baptist, and, you know, that you had to be baptized to be saved was the main thing, but they were claiming, hey, you Baptists have got it all wrong. We are the ones that are right. So there was a little bit of an identity crisis that took place. But since then, especially since then, really even starting in the 1700s, a couple cases, there have been some people put out some books. I've got the list of those in the appendix of some of those. And they've gone back and tried to study this out and prove that Baptists have always existed in the church age. So we owe a great debt to many of these people who have gone and studied, you know, fragmentary manuscripts to glean the information from them, and have, you know, studied what these accusations made by Catholics against groups. I mean, it just to chronicle that is an amazing task, and that some people were willing to do that, we owe them a great debt. In fact, I'll be honest with you, most Baptist history books say pretty much the same thing. Usually they just rehash what's already been written. Just my personal observation. But in many cases, they say practically the same thing, maybe a few more anecdotes or something. But the general information, the general statements are usually all pretty close to being the same. So some cases, if you read one, you've read them all when it comes to certain subjects. What really sets them apart is some guy will write just a book about American Baptists, and somebody will write a book about British Baptists, and somebody will write one, you know, that covers everything, and somebody will write one that just covers them up to a certain period. And so, you know, they kind of specialize in different areas, but generally speaking, they all say practically the same thing. So that gives you a little bit of an idea of the challenge of getting this information, and we owe a great debt to some people that have preserve that heritage for us and have laid that out for us. And we'll definitely give credit to whom credit is due as we go through here to some of those people. Well, that's going to wrap up our introduction, and I apologize for a couple of interruptions there. I know there's not a big interruption in the recording, but may have thrown the sound off a little bit, or definitely thrown my train of thought off. So I apologize for that, and I hope you've enjoyed this. Hope you enjoy this series. When you get ready for the second lesson, we're going to cover Baptist beliefs. What does a Baptist believe? That's a common question I hear. In fact, I get a lot of hits on my website just about that single question right there. So I hope to see you again there for lesson number two. Thanks.